Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh.
Crank it up, Dre. Crank it up.
Yes, sir.
Alright, here we go.
Now, I know y'all are on, just like on the tip of your toes and all that fun jazz, and of course, talking sports itself on a special Wednesday night playoff edition. Man, what a day, what a night. We're having some fun today. Today, of course, is the 20th, and yeah, I'm clued in. Talking sports itself, and I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Rob Ford and Jake Quad Jenkins. How you guys doing this evening? I'm starting with Rob Ford. How you doing this evening, Rob?
Man, doing great, doing great. Watching some playoff basketball, which I'm sure we all are. And, of course, we're going to keep our listeners very up-to-date with this ball game here, right at about a minute to go here.
We don't need you to keep us that up-to-date, Rob, you know what I'm saying? How about that, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Say what?
Oh, I'm good, man.
I'm
sitting here watching
yeah.
it with you guys.
Yeah, man, this is live. We, you know, I don't know. They're not Hawks fans, America, but that's okay. I'm a Hawks fan. I'm going to still keep it focused, man, because that's what I do, man. But, of course, you're officially talking sports. And of course, I'm watching the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, of course, the Hawks and the Cavs. But let's have some fun here. If you hear, like, a yell in the background or something like that, or if you hear me say, guys, take your time whenever you talk about a topic, that's okay. You want to call on the show? We always like to talk about the numbers and whatnot, 424-243-9519. We're also available via Twitter. If you go to the number, at 12men, that's THMAN Sports, you'll find us. And we're also on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com, if you put in Talking Sports with 12men, you'll find us. Or if you put in /12men sports, you will find us as well. But, fellas, we got a lot to talk about. And, of course, we would be remiss if we didn't kick it off with the NBA playoffs here. I'm going to ask real quick a two-part question as the game jumps on two. You know, there's no fourth quarter collapse on this side, but the Clippers were up 3-1.
Oh, man.
And next thing you know, the Rockets come back. And I'm gonna ask a two-part question. I'm going to start with Rob, and then I want you to think about this, JQ, too. Is that the biggest collapse in history, right, for what happened? And then what I'm sure is that DeAndre Jordan wants to get a max deal. I don't think the guy deserves a max deal unless he can hit some free throws. But that's just me. So, number one, that's the biggest collapse so far in the playoffs. And then, once again, is DeAndre Jordan worth that max deal contract he's trying to seek as being a free agent this season? So, Rob Ford, I'm going to kick it off with you, JK. I'll give you time to think about this. I want you to really take your time. And, Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
Wow, that's got to be one of the biggest collapses in recent memory. And I'll tell you what, just from my experience, last week I was watching the game five, and the Clippers were up by they had a 19-point lead in the third quarter. And I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm thinking the series is over. I'm thinking they're about to go home and pull the series out 4-1, and I went to sleep. In the third quarter, I was like, I'm on a bed. And I wake up the next morning and totally shocked that Houston came back and won that game. So definitely in recent memory, it's hard to say if that's the biggest collapse ever. I know, there's been some time. I know Seattle back in the 90s had a 3-0 lead on the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets came back and won 4 straight. Seattle was a number one seed when that happened, too, under George Karl and Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. That was a Seattle team that had a number one seed that had high expectations to win the NBA title. And they lost to an 8 seed. 8 seed came back and beat them 4 games in a row. That's one series that comes to mind as a big collapse. But definitely this one in recent memory is when I think – Clippers were clearly outplaying them in the first 5 games of the series, so it was, very surprising. And but you know, you look at the Houston.
Don't blame it on Chris Rob.
Well, I think, you know, one thing that you can point to, that the downfall for the Clippers, and you know, this may be, I think Doc Rivers maybe should relinquish his general manager role and concentrate on being a head coach. And you know, that team lacked a lot of depth. I mean, they signed Spencer Hawes in the offseason, gave him a 4-year, $23 million deal. And on the surface, that looked like a solid pickup. Looked like he would be able to give them some nice depth, you know, for the Clippers. But he really didn't do anything for the team this season. And toward the end of that series, the Clippers looked gassed. They looked tired, especially in Game 7. It looked like they had nothing in that game against Houston. You know, Blake Griffin looked like, I don't know if he just wasn't playing hard or was he tired. I don't know which one was it, but he was moving out of the way on defensive situations, and you know, it was a total debacle. So they're going to have to do something to improve that depth. And the next question in regards to DeAndre Jordan, the NBA salary cap is getting ready to go up tremendously. And you're going to see a lot of guys getting max contracts that probably doesn't deserve it. So I'm with you, Andre. I don't think he deserves it. But, you know, he is one of the better defenders. He's first team all defense today. And a great rebounder, great shot blocker, runs the floor extremely well. I just would like to see him have a little bit more offensive presence, a little bit more offensive game, as well as shooting free throws as well, to earn that max contract. But the NBA salary cap, this new huge TV deal that they have, every team is about to get about an additional $20 to $40 million with cap space. And so you're going to see teams pay you know, max money for guys that probably don't deserve it.
Then no problem.
JQ, on you, sir.
Yeah, the reason why I would say that it probably is the biggest collapse, and not that we haven't seen other collapses, but the fact that the way they were beating Houston and building that 3-1 lead, I mean, blowing them out, double-digit wins, and then, like you said, to be up 19, and then even if Houston went on that run, they were still up 13 at home going into the fourth quarter. And like I got with Rob, I you know, as I already counted, you know, I had pulled a Tracy McGrady, you know, we on to the next round, you know, and they blew it, and then, they, like you said, they looked completely gassed and somewhat disinterested in that game seven, almost like they just accepted the inevitable that they were going to lose to Houston. It was really disheartening to see them fold like that. But I would say that's the biggest collapse, just because they were dominating Houston and building that 3-1 lead, and then all the good stuff that they were doing just went away. As far as DeAndre Jordan, there's no question. If you can't run a play for me, and I don't have one low post move, and I don't have a counter off my other low post move, because I tell you, a big guy, if he's going to rebound and play defense, he only needs two low post moves. He needs one move to go to and a counter when the defense tries to take that one away. All he needs is two moves, and he doesn't even have one. I can't give you max contract if I can't run a play for you, and I have to take you out the game so the other team doesn't intentionally foul you because you're going to shoot 37%. That drives me bonkers. That's another conversation. But when you have access to a gym 24 hours a day and you can call up any staffer on the team and say, hey, come rebound for me, there's no good reason on this earth for you to shoot 37%. And I'm just going to leave it at that. So I'm with Rob. There's no way. You're going to see bad GMs continue to be bad GMs, and you're going to see good GMs continue to do the things they normally do. And I think it's going to make a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots with the newer CBA and the salary cap, because bad GMs are going to throw money around because they have it to spend, and you have the floor that you have to meet. But that doesn't mean you throw max money at non-max players. And the good GMs are going to find a way to stockpile talent with the new money. So I think it's just going to show you who are the good GMs and who are the bad GMs.
You know, another quick point on that situation with DeAndre Jordan, there's several sources that claims that Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, you know, are feuding behind closed doors. And Chris Paul has been constantly on DeAndre Jordan about his lack of, you know, concentration, lack of focus, and lack of practice in regards to free throw shooting. And it's starting to wear on DeAndre Jordan. So I don't know how true this is as far as, you know, possibly looking around, you know, with the Lakers getting the number two pick. You know, there was some sources that the Lakers were going to try to steal him away from the Clippers. That may not happen.
Please
now.
Please no.
Since they got the number two pick. And, and I, yeah, even, yeah, you know, there's even some sources – Let's say the Pelicans even would like to take a shot at him too, to pair him with Anthony Davis. So we'll see what happens with that. I think ultimately Doc Rivers convinces him to stay in with the Clippers is what I believe is going to ultimately happen.
And the thing about it is Chris Paul is a lot like Kobe Bryant, and you can't be on his team and be half A in it. You know, get out of practice. We know you can dunk, dude. Don't be in practice practicing dunks. You got to get a low post game. You got to be able to shoot free throws. That's the bottom line. And Chris Paul has that dog in him. He's an alpha male, and he's going to put his best foot forward and do everything he can to be the best player that he can be. And he wants the same for DeAndre. And if you remember a couple of years ago, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got into it for the same reason. And he spurred Blake to become a better player. So if DeAndre would take it as positive criticism or constructive criticism as opposed to somebody trying to tear him down, he might be able to turn that corner and actually make himself into a max player, because he has the talent, but I don't know if he has the desire.
No, he doesn't, man. He's over there crying about, somebody trying to challenge him to get better, man. Come on, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
just let you guys know, Cleveland won the game. They got the first win. So, I'm not going to comment about the freaking bad refs and calls. That's a whole other conversation. But, good game. Good game. And we'll see you guys Friday. good talks on that, Rob. I think the same thing goes into play, man, about good points, both of you guys, about alpha males and about some breeding too, man. So I'm pretty sure that's going to definitely weigh into the decision if you want to bring DeAndre Jordan back. Like I said, I don't think he's a max deal player at all. It'd be pretty much a mistake. But, we'll see what happens. We'll see how the GMs are going to play some things. I mean, you got a guy that's athletic that's, somebody's going to want to give him something, man. You know, whether you're the Knicks or whether you're the freaking – 76 or somebody's gonna try to give him some money, man. He may follow the money, man. But we'll keep that going.
I heard the Mavericks too.
Anyone, man, wants to get some, throw some money out. Anything else you got? I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about NBA playoffs wise? JQ, that you want to kind of talk about here? First game for the Western with that. We're kind of in the NBA playoffs mode here.
It's amazing to me that we had all these conversations about these scenarios and these dream matchups, and how hard it was going to be in the West and how bad the East was, and it can be upset. And we end up with 1-2 in both conferences. So, just when you think you know something, you don't know anything. That first game between Golden State and Houston is about what I expect it to be. It's going to be a battle for 7 games. And I'm really interested to see what happens with DeMarre Carroll, because he does a lot of the dirty work for that Atlanta team. And if he's unable to come back and be 100%, that's going to be a big blow for them. But I think the talk about these NBA playoffs is about the Clippers, the anatomy of a collapse, and that's what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about what's wrong with Clippers too, man, and good call on the Hawks. I was going to save the time to talk about that too, for sure. With Lucero going down, that's definitely a huge blow. And Cephalosha, man, that's something that still hurts us, man. I mean, I know his playoff experience and his defensive link, man, that just – I kind of feel, bad about that. At least you would have had that too. But, like I said, it is what it is. I'm not going to cry about it. You can play what you can play.
Stay off the club at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation right there. Rob, anything you want to talk about playoff-wise? Rob, anything you wanted to – I'll throw that back to you too as well. Anything you want to talk about playoff-wise? I mean, I know we're still talking about the collapse of the Clippers, man, but anything that you want to kind of highlight? And a good call with 1-2 for both of those two, JQ.
Just briefly comment about the game last night. I kind of agree with JQ in regards to the Rockets Warriors. I thought that was a good game last night. Houston has really got to step it up on the defensive end. Houston, if you really look at the talent, Houston's talent versus Golden State's talent, you can make a case that Houston has more talent than Golden State, but Houston doesn't have the basketball IQ that I think Golden State has. And, they do some dumb stuff out there on the basketball court. Poor rotations on defense and things of that nature.
When you look at some pure, too.
Yeah, when you look at a pure talent standpoint and athleticism standpoint, I mean, Josh Smith, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, and you put them up against Harrison Barnes, Bogut, and Draymond Green. I mean, come on, who's got better athletes there? Look at the front court versus front court there. I mean, you can easily make a case. You can say James Harden is definitely a better player than Klay Thompson. To me, look like the only pure advantage you have is Stephen Curry over Jason Terry. Golden State plays a lot smarter. Houston has the personnel. They have the talent. If they can play smart, this could really be a very interesting series because, like I said, I think they do have the talent, but it's whether or not they can get it done upstairs is going to determine if they can win this series. And also, Dwight Howard health he's questionable for tomorrow night, and so I'm going to predict that he's going to play just for a game of this magnitude. And but you know how healthy is he going to be? That's going to be key for Houston as well.
Marshmallowy.
Man, I could spend 30 minutes talking about the IQ of Josh Smith and how that dude, I don't even understand it, man. To be taking threes in the beginning of the shot clock, dude doesn't know how to, that is the biggest.
Shoot the J.
Shoot it. No, Joker. That was a play. That was not the play called. I digress. But,
computer blue.
Yeah, just call Robin, and definitely that just goes to show you too that talent alone doesn't do some things too. You have to have some basketball IQ, and that goes a long way too as well too. We got about 13 minutes. I do want to spend some time talking about the NBA mock draft and the NBA lottery. I sent a joking text to the JQ yesterday because your Lakers get the number 2 pick just enough to not be conspiracy because they got the number 1 we talked about. They got the number 2. I thought the Knicks were going to have a frozen envelope somewhere, but they ended up getting the 4th pick. Minnesota gets your top pick. And so, Rob, this is a pretty interesting mock draft. And JQ, if you are the GM, who are you picking with that number 2 pick? Are you going on – obviously, you got to pick between Okafor and Towns here, but who would you prefer if you are that number 2 pick, sir?
I would prefer Anthony Towns. I think we talked about we were watching the tournament – and I would like to take their whole body into work, but as we talked about, when you watch that tournament and you watch Duke play, if they didn't tell you at times that Okafor was a top 2 pick, you wouldn't have known it. You know, Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones carried that team for stretches, and I juxtaposed that with how Anthony Towns put Kentucky on his back and kept him in that Wisconsin game, and you watched him evolve as that tournament went on with his low post game when he was already a great defender. So I hope that Minnesota falls in love with Okafor's hand size and draft him first so the Towns can slip to the 2. But if you're the Lakers, they're probably going to take Okafor, and I can't quibble with taking a big man. And you got to remember, they got Julius Randle coming back from a broken leg, so you feel like your front court of the future will be set. But me, I'm a little bit of a homer, but you got Russell sitting there who could be your heir apparent and put him with Jordan Clarkson. Now you have a really big backcourt. I would prefer Towns, and I prefer Russell actually at 2, but they're going to take Okafor, and I can't quibble with taking a 6 talented big man, but he's got to stay in shape, and he's got to show me a little bit better motor.
That worked really well for Sam Bowie and Michael Jordan back in the day too. Hey,
exactly.
Robert Ford. So according to Robert's draft, it looks like you guys will be getting Jahlil Okafor if it goes to play too. So Rob, man, you got Minnesota taking Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, is this the we thought that Jahlil was the number 1 draft pick, but you kind of like do a little loop here. So tell us a little bit more about this particular option for Minnesota going Towns here.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give JQ credit. I know we talked about this during the NCAA tournament. But I definitely have to move Karl-Anthony Towns up to the number 1 spot. Going back and looking at some of those games from the NCAA tournament, I mean, Jahlil Okafor just lacked passion. He's got the hand size. He's got better offensive game than Karl-Anthony Towns, but Karl-Anthony Towns is a better athlete, a better defender. I think he's got a little bit more upside. And if you go back and really look at Anthony Davis, I'm not saying Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be Anthony Davis, but
if you look at
Davis when he came out of college, there were some questions about his offensive game as well. But if you look at it now, Anthony Davis is stepping out hitting 20-footers with ease now. He's got low post moves already. He's averaging 25 points a game in the NBA. And I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be that kind of player. But I think, you know, he can eventually develop into a 17-12 kind of guy with a few block shots a game. And but like I said, we'll kind of wait and see. I think there is still a slight chance that Okafor could reclaim that number 1 spot. You know, we'll see how he does in workouts and things of that nature. But He doesn't have the defensive tenacity at the moment, and that's what I think is going to keep him. And I'm even going to say this, too, is there is a small chance that D'Angelo Russell can move up to number two, the point guard position. He's 6'5". He can handle the basketball. He's got great vision. He shoots over 40-something percent from the three-point line. This gives them some great size at the point position. I think this guy is going to be a real steal if he lasts into the third or fourth pick. I think he's going to be a heck of a basketball player.
Yes, sir.
Word on the street, do you think that I keep hearing a little bit about Rajon Rondo and the Lakers? Is that still something that's going to go down, Rob, or is that just kind of just like fodder, if you will? I've heard about that too, sir.
Well, you know, the thing about the NBA is, you know, NFL is just the opposite. You have free agency and then the draft. And so what you don't get in free agency, you try to get in the draft. And the NBA is just the opposite. You have the draft, then free agency. So I think if the Lakers were to get a point guard in this draft, you know, maybe they'll cool on Rajon Rondo. Like I say, the draft is before, you know, free agency. And I tell you what, I tell you a guy who was climbing in this draft, and the Lakers have two first-round picks in this draft. And I have them at number 28 taking Terry Rozier from Louisville, who just straight up – had a tremendous NBA combine, played extremely well. I have him moving in. I think he'll be a sleeper pick. I have the Lakers taking him at 28 as well. And I think he may be a pretty good steal if they can still get him at 28. If he keeps playing the way he is now, he may even move a little bit higher than that. But that would be a tremendous draft if the Lakers can get Towns or Okafor. And then get a Terry Rozier in the latter part of the first round. I mean, that would be a tremendous draft for the Lakers.
But I got one point about that real fast. But the Lakers are really high on Jordan Clarkson at the point guard position already, so I'm not quite sure how much they view point guards in need, because if you looked at their season, he was one of the very few bright spots for that team. So they might not be as pressed for a point guard as everybody else has them. But I do like Rozier. He's heady, plays really good defense, and Lord knows they needed some defense on that team. So, you know, I'm in the minority of you don't necessarily have to reach to get a point guard. And I think you can move Russell to the shooting guard, like I said before, and have a big backcourt with him and Clarkson.
Yeah, and I think even Clarkson can play. You know, he was more of a shooting guard in college too. So I think they could be very versatile and flip-flop positions and things of that nature, too. Clarkson definitely had a great rookie season, being a first-team all-rookie as well.
Yep.
Love it. So at number three, Philadelphia, you got them taking D'Angelo Russell. Go ahead with the mock draft, Rob. Phil, you got kind of going off your picks in here. We'll comment as needed here. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, man, you just mentioned Russell going to Philadelphia. And, I mean, that could be pretty intriguing, too, to get Joel Embiid and Nerlens Noel, but who knows what Philadelphia is going to do. They seem to screw up everything they've been doing the last few years here. And, but
it
seems like they're tanking every year.
Right.
Yeah. Emmanuel Mudiay is a guy, I don't know if you guys have ever seen him play. He was supposed to be a freshman at SMU last year. Instead, he played professionally basketball in China. This guy is another guy right on the level with D'Angelo Russell. 6'5", dynamic point guard who can score the basketball as well as distribute the basketball. I have him going to the Knicks at number four. So you got your two big men going one and two, and you got two of the same type players going three and four as well with Russell and Mudiay. The Knicks will more than likely still get a pretty good basketball player at that slot to run a point guard. Kristaps Porzingis, 7 foot on that TV. This guy is
Bless you.
He's Dirk Nowitzki all over again. 7 feet, can shoot the basketball. He's athletic as well. His only problem is he's going to need to gain some muscle. He needs to gain a little bit of weight in the weight room. And JQ mentioned Justice Winslow. I have him going to Sacramento at 6. Willie Cauley-Stein got him going to Denver at number 7. Stanley Johnson, small forward from Arizona, going to Detroit. Detroit is in much need of getting a small forward. Mario Hezonja from Croatia, a dynamic jump shooter, and Charlotte definitely needs some shooters. I tell you, a guy who was a real sleeper in this draft, too, is Devin Booker, in my opinion, from Kentucky. I think he's got better athleticism than people give him credit for. He can handle the ball, basketball. I think he's that type of tweener that can play the point or play the shooting guard at the next level. And they really need to give some relief to Dwayne Wade up there in Miami. So I got him going at number 10. Frank Kaminsky, number 11, stays in the Midwest, Indiana. Sam Decker, I think, is a versatile player, can even play some point forward. I'm going to Utah, number 12, so back-to-back Wisconsin Badgers there. Trey Lyles, another guy from Kentucky who I think will be a better pro than we've seen in college. Have him going to Phoenix, Miles Turner to OKC. Kelly Oubre from Kansas going to the Hawks. I think he underachieved in his freshman year at Kansas, but I think he's still got a lot of talent, a lot of athleticism. You know, with the right coaching, maybe you'll get that out of him. Jerrion Grant from Notre Dame to Boston, Justin Anderson.
That's too low.
Too low for Grant?
Yeah, that dude balls. I think sometimes when you play too long in college, they devalue what you can do. I think that's Horace's son, and Harvey's son. I think that's too low.
Horace's nephew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually have him a little bit higher than most scouts have him. Most scouts still have him in the 20s. I have him going 16 at the moment. But I think he will be a great pair with Marcus Smart in Boston. That backcourt, I have him going 16 there. Justin Anderson from Virginia to Milwaukee. Cameron Payne is a point guard from Murray State that can really fill it up. You know, maybe a poor man's Damian Lillard coming from a small college and can handle the basketball as well as shoot it. Bobby Portis, big man from Arkansas, who can also step out and hit threes as well. So he's pretty versatile. I'm going to Washington. Toronto, Kevin Looney from UCLA. Montrezl Harrell, Louisville, going to Dallas. Tyus Jones, that's our point guard from Duke, who I think is going to be a solid backup point guard in the NBA. I don't envision him being a starter, but I have
Robert,
him going to Chicago. I think he's going to be
pause real quick. Yeah, I want to say, you know, point guards in Duke and Chicago haven't gone that well, but hopefully that kind of changes the
flow.
Jay Williams,
like,
huh?
Yeah, man.
Stay
off
that
bike.
Stay off that bike.
Go ahead, Bob.
Jay Williams, Deion Wright, guard from Utah, going to Portland. Rondae Hollis Jefferson, who I think is a sleeper in his draft from Arizona, going to Cleveland at 24. R.J. Hunter, right there from Atlanta, Georgia State, going to Memphis.
Yes, sir. That's
a
nice
25,
pick,
Robert Upshaw, big man from Washington, going to San Antonio. I mentioned Terry Rozier to the Lakers. Jarrell Martin, who I think is a sleeper too, versatile big man from LSU, can play the three or the four. I have him also going to Boston. And to round out the draft, Christian Wood, athletic big man from UNLV, going to Brooklyn. And Chris McCullough, who was having a dynamic freshman season for Syracuse, tore his ACL, have him going to Golden State at number 30. He won't be ready to play right away. He probably had to miss the first few months of the season, but I think Golden State would take a flyer on him. Like I said, he was having a tremendous freshman season prior to tearing his ACL with Syracuse last year.
Love it. Now, before we get some comments, because I know me and JQ would love to comment on that, great job with the mock draft. A couple players definitely want to highlight. We got about a minute and 30-something seconds, Rob. Can you go ahead and set us up for the OT portion? We'll dive into more mock draft talk, and we'll definitely kind of get to the rest of the topics too. So you want to set that up, Rob, and we'll get ready to have fun here, wrap up another edition of Talking Sports with the 12 Men.
Oh, yeah. Well, make sure you join us on next week. Stay tuned for what day of the week is going to be, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Click on the same link to listen to our OT portion on tomorrow. We're still talking NBA draft. We've still got some NFL, maybe a little college basketball as well. So stay tuned as we're talking more sports with the 12th man. Click on the same link and listen to us on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Stay classy.
JQ, anything you want to say?
Stay classy.
I love it. Yeah. Stay classy is what you got to do. So, yeah, we want to appreciate you tuning in. I know time flies when we're having fun. You know, I started off the show kind of hype, and then obviously I hit my little thing here. But we're going to keep moving here. So we're going to talk about some definitely wrap up the NBA mock draft. We're going to talk about who's going to be the better hire for the Pelicans. I love how Rob kind of slipped that in there. Some teams that
love
can
it.
Improve in the draft. And your greatest MJ memory, we'll talk about that. Well, maybe we'll have some time to get into some NFL talk here. And you know, because we know that Giselle doesn't like to play the ball, so maybe we'll talk about that. and then we'll wrap it up with Calipari signing that extension with Kentucky, too. So that's what we like to do as well. So good night, America. Tune in as well. Real quick, I want to ask about two players here, Rob, if you don't mind, and I'll kick it over to JQ. I like the R.J. Hunter pick. I think some way, somehow, he's going to be a Hawk. And I think the Hawks are going to try to make a move for him. Their second-round pick, they're going to try to trade up for that. Do you think he's going to be a good player? Is he kind of like a – I heard a comparison, kind of like a J.J. Redick, if you will. So what do you think about R.J. Hunter, Rob, and more about Kelly Oubre, what's the deal with him? And I'm wondering if Frank the Tank's going to be a good player, man. A couple of guys from Wisconsin, how do you think they're going to fare out in the NBA too, Rob? So that's my little question, and I'll kick it to J.Q. after that, sir. You got all that?
Yeah, R.J. Hunter, I think, is maybe has a little bit more athleticism than J.J. Redick, but I think he'll be a versatile, solid player. I think he can really help a Memphis team out. I think they lack some outside shooting on their team and could really help them immediately at about 25. I think it'll be hard for Atlanta to trade up from a second-round pick. It's not as easy to do in the NBA as it is in the NFL for something like that. So that would be hard. I think, if anything, the Hawks can possibly trade back from their 15 position if they want to get a R.J.
Malarkey.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm messing with you.
But Kelly Oubre has got a lot more talent, a lot more potential than R.J. Hunter. He did kind of underperform as a freshman at Kansas, but he has a lot more athleticism, can be a dynamic wing player. As well. So you're getting a better athlete with Oubre. R.J. Hunter may be a little bit more polished as far as contributing right away, but if you're thinking long term, Oubre is probably a better prospect. And you mentioned Frank Kaminsky. It's going to be very intriguing to see what type of NBA player. I mean, I have him going number 11. You know, David West getting up in age with Indiana, maybe down the road he can replace him. I don't know if he's going to have the physical presence to be a power forward, a starting power forward in the NBA. You know, he likes to step out and hit the jump shot. I think he's going to have to be in more of a wide-open kind of offense for him to excel. And, I know Indiana doesn't really play that way at the moment. But I think if he was eventually become their starting four, I think they would have to change their style of play a little bit.
They want to.
To accommodate what he can do on the floor as well. I think he can definitely be a 15, 16-point scorer in the right system. But, you know, I just wonder what kind of physical presence he'll have on the defensive end.
Go ahead, JQ. And this is the person that loved Marvin Williams, by the way. But carry on, sir. Go ahead.
I think Justin Winslow at 6 of Sacramento is a perfect pair to put him next to DeMarcus Cousins because he's going to do all the dirty work and let DeMarcus shine. I think that's a great pick for Sacramento if he lasts that long. The two teams that I would quibble with, and I'm going to go to your Wisconsin boys, I think Frank Kaminsky is a little bit more of a poor man's, Dirk Nowitzki. He's more like a middle-class Dirk Nowitzki. And I'm looking at Charlotte just absolutely struggling to score the ball. And you're sitting there with Kaminsky and a Decker, and they may have some flashbacks to my man from Gonzaga when they think about Decker. But I think
Adam Morrison.
But I think Kaminsky is underrated. And I'm looking at Willie Cauley-Stein, who is going to have that same kind of skill set that DeAndre Jordan has. And we talked about, is he a max player or not? But he doesn't have a semblance of a low post game. You can't run any plays for him. And if I'm going to draft somebody at 7, I got to be able to run some plays for him and have some confidence in it, outside of it being an alley-oop pass to him or him getting a putback dunk. So I understand they are enamored with his defensive presence, but I think Frank and Decker's last into 11 and 12, I think Indiana and Utah run up to the podium and turn those in. I hear you about Booker, but he's a little slight to me in terms of frame, and he's had so much talent to surround him with where he wasn't, he was able to get open and not be focused on, that it can also inflate what he does a little bit. So I don't know if I would take him that high at 10. I would probably move Frank and Sam up, if I was a GM, up above Booker and Cauley-Stein. I like Stanley Johnson. I think that's good for Detroit. But I think those Wisconsin boys, they know how to play. They have a good basketball IQ. And it goes to the same thing we talked about with R.J. Hunter. Being a coach's son, he has a little bit more polished, but he's also going to understand the game at a higher level than most rookies coming in, because he's got that coach's son mentality, probably sitting at home watching – tape with his dad and understanding the game plan, not just his piece, but the whole team's concept about it. So that's just my piece, and I talked about Jerian Grant. I'm a Jerian Grant fan. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but, you know, I think you get devalued a lot of times if you don't come right out after your freshman year and then something has to be wrong with you or something wrong with your game. I think he's just a solid guard that is going to be able to come in and step in, and he's going to understand it and get it and not be a problem.
Good call. JQ coming strong. I love it. I love it. All right, good call. Let's get to this. Let's get to this so Rob doesn't freak out. He's really excited about his Pelicans. Who do you think would be a better hire? Portland Spurs, that Tom Thibodeau is going to be gone. Alvin Gentry. You know, if you're the Pelicans, you know, I think he probably needs some defense, so I'm going to go Tom Thibodeau for that. That's going to be a good fit for that. But, you know, that's just me, man. What do you think about that, JQ? Do you think that Thibodeau is going to be a good fit, or would you go to Alvin Gentry? I'm going to say let Rob do that afterwards.
I'm with you 100%. That was going to be what I was going to say. You're playing in that Western Conference, and it's just so tough to crack the top eight that you need somebody that's going to be able to give you a strong defensive presence where you can slow that game down and make it tough on those Western Conference teams to score the ball. And I believe Tom is going to bring that to the Pelicans. And I would think Tom is by far the best coach available. I mean, I like Alvin Gentry. You know, he did a good job taking over in Phoenix. But I'm with you. The defensive presence that he's going to bring and that, you know, you can't overlook that. You take away 5 to 6 points a game, and that could translate to 3 to 5 more wins. And now you go from being the 8th seed to being the 6th or 5th seed and maybe not drawing that Golden State in the first round. So I would go in New Orleans for that. With Tom Thibodeau for New Orleans.
Hey, Rob, so on you, even though you never know, Doc Rivers may be available for you.
I don't think so. But I would have to agree with both of you and go with Thibodeau. But also, you know, I think Thibodeau is a better fit for the personnel that the Pelicans have, too. Gentry wants to run an up-tempo, almost a kind of like Mike D'Antoni offense. And, you know, I think you just need a dynamic point guard for that. And, you know, Jrue Holiday is kind of banged up. We've been playing Tyreek Evans at the point guard. And he did a fairly solid job last season. But I think Thibodeau's style of coaching, defense, slowing the pace down, I think is better for the personnel that the Pelicans have at the moment as well. Plus, you know, if you get Omar Sheik to come back, you know, at least he coached him with Chicago, and you will know how to utilize him as well on the defensive end. So Thibodeau definitely will be a better fit if, you know, this so-called breakup between he and the Bulls does happen. Then, you know, the Pelicans are still trying to hold out to see if it really is going to happen, so they can have an opportunity to talk to him. Now, I know Orlando is also interested in Thibodeau, and they're prepared to offer as much as $8 to $9 million as well. So I'm not sure if the Pelicans are prepared to match that or not. And I hear they want to stay in the $4 to $5 million price range for a head coach. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I think as far as personnel-wise, the Pelicans would be a more of an attractive job than the Magic is at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I got a little scared whenever you said Mike D'Antoni. I thought JQ was going to pass out there because I know how much he hates
things. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. please no.
I thought I was kind of going for JQ. I thought he was going to kind of like have an aneurysm whenever you mentioned Mike D'Antoni. All right. Teams that can improve. Keep this quick, guys, through the draft really quickly. Teams that can improve the most, you know, crap, man. Philadelphia up there, crap. You know, the Lakers, where are you at, Rob, real quick? Who's going to improve the most real quick for the draft?
Well, obviously the Lakers are one of these teams. I mean, they got 2 first-round picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may get another year or so out of Kobe. So, I mean, this is a really important draft for the Lakers. You know, you're going to get Julius Randle back. You get one of these 2 big men. You hope you can build something. You know, you have Jordan Clarkson, and hopefully you can get a steal in the latter part of the front. I'm not a Laker fan. You know I'm a Laker hater, by the way, but, you know, I'm being objective here. And but, you know, obviously this is an important draft for them, and, you know, you add an important free agent with that, and you might have something in a few years for the Lakers here. I think another team, surprisingly, I have here is the Detroit Pistons. I think, you know, if you can keep Greg Monroe and you can Andre Drummond and you can get a solid small forward with a team like I have here with Stanley Johnson here, I think, and they finished strong at the end of the season, just missed the playoffs to the Pistons. I think they can possibly sneak back into the Eastern Conference playoffs if they can keep Monroe and add an athletic small forward like a Stanley Johnson. I think that will help them out tremendously as well. I talked about the Charlotte Hornets. One of the main things that they're lacking is some outside shooting. And if they can just get somebody that can come in and spread the floor and knock down some outside shots, I think they're another team. They were in the playoffs last season but missed it this season, and that was the number one element that they were missing. They were lacking some outside shooting. If they can get something like that in the draft. And the team that desperately needs to hit on the draft is the New York Knicks. York Knickerbockers. What are they going to do here? D'Angelo Russell, Emmanuel Mudiay. I think they will at least solidify their point guard position, but even with that, they're still going to be a ways away. But they have to hit on this particular draft pick, even at number four, to help them down the road going forward, to help Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher. I think the Nuggets is a team that has some good talent on their team, and if they can, you know, get a steal in this draft as well, I think they'll be one to watch. Willie Cauley-Stein, I have him going number seven in Denver. I know JQ is not that high on him, but I think if he can come in and add some defensive tenacity, which I think he will bring to that team, and some rebounding, that's something that they can use to bring some physicality to that ball club. So I think they are another team that could possibly improve in this draft as well.
Dang, Rob, I said make it quick, man. Come on, I'm stuck with that.
By the way, Larry Bird seems to think Willie Cauley-Stein is a future max player in the NBA, and I don't necessarily agree with that. But I think, you know, where he's slotted to get picked is about where he should go.
The Knicks are still paying for Allen Houston's contract too, but carry on, JQ. What do you guys think?
So I agree with almost all of that, and then one team that I would add to that mix would be, and I hate them, are the Boston Celtics sitting there with two first round picks. You know, you've got Isaiah Thomas sitting there as well, so you could almost package those two picks and move up if you wanted to, or put one with Isaiah Thomas or with a Sellinger and try to move up. So I think Boston, and they have those multiple picks coming down the line from Brooklyn in that Kevin Garnett-Paul Pierce trade. So I think Boston has the ammunition to move up. If they wanted to make a splash, they could do it. To go back to the Willie Cauley-Stein, my thing is, if you're Denver or you're one of those teams that want a defensive presence, I'm looking at Montrezl Harrell from Louisville, who is an absolute defensive stud. You could move back in the draft and pick up, you know, another second-round pick or a later first-round pick and still get that defensive presence in Montrezl Harrell and not have to spend, the seventh pick on Stein.
He's not the shot blocker that Cauley-Stein is, though. That's the thing you're going to lose there. He doesn't have the height, nor is the shot blocker that Cauley-Stein is.
Yeah, but he's a monster defender. He's a monster on the boards, though. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm not super high on Stein. I definitely don't think he's a $100 million player.
Well, I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with Larry Bird on that take. But he'll be a solid pro. I think he'll be a better pro than he was a college player, Cauley-Stein. I definitely think he'll be I tell you, another team you mentioned earlier, the Sacramento Kings, too. And I think they're another team. You know, you got Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins. Burgess. You know, you get another player with that team as well. They could really improve in this draft. And as you mentioned earlier, I have Justice Winslow going in them as well. He can really help that team out as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Man, as always, time flies when we're having fun, fellas. So we are officially about 2 minutes into the show. I know,
always.
Man. We have so much to talk about, man. But that's always good, man. So, we kind of started off the night, man. We were kind of intrigued with the NBA playoff game. But, you know, we're here next week. We'll keep it going. Thank you guys for joining. We got a quick minute. Rob, set it up for next week. And JQ, you can say a little good night. Sign up to as well, guys. We're going to wrap up another edition of Talking Sports for the 12th minute.
Next week, people, stay tuned. We'll be posting it on Facebook and Twitter. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be posting it. It's Memorial Day weekend, so we will work out the date here in the next few days. Good night, people.
JQ.
And aloha means goodbye. Just still up from ESPN. Good night, America.
Good night, America. A lot of love, guys. We appreciate you tuning in, all that fun stuff, too. We'll see you same time, same channel next week. Enjoy your barbecue, fellas, and a lot of shout-out to the servicemen that are taking care of the country, guys. Good night.
Absolutely. Keep a designated driver.
Be good.
Yes, sir.